Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Theology Noir. Theology in the Raw.
Theology in the Wah?
Of Theology in the Wah. This is Elmer Flood speaking to you. I am here with my wife, Chris Sprinkle. This is a podcast we've been planning for a while. We did one of these, I think, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe 1 year ago. And we got a lot of people who said, hey, can you have Chris back on? I get a lot of that. When's your wife coming back on? So back by popular demand, my wife, Chris Sprinkle. How are you doing, Chris?
Hey, good.
You nervous?
A little bit.
So I just recorded an interview with a friend of mine, Andrew Bunt. It probably was released, I think, just prior to this one. We talked about polyamory, sex with robots, and procreation. You probably don't want to talk about any of that stuff, right?
No.
So I do want to talk about parenting because you're a parent. And you're not just a parent. I think you're an amazing parent. And I'm not just saying that because you're here. You're an amazing mom and you absolutely love it. And you put a ton of time and effort and thinking into being a mom. Like, I don't know if a day has gone by since we've had kids where you haven't woken up and devoted a significant part of your day to how can I be the best mom I can? Would that be, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I mean, is that?
Yeah. Yeah, I love being a mom. I always wanted to be a mom, and I love our kids, so that makes it so easy. I feel like we have the funnest kids, and so, yeah, being a mom is easy. I feel like that's what I love doing and love devoting my time to.
It has its ups and downs in the sense of definitely challenges.
Yeah. It's hard work, for sure. Yeah, it's hard work, but very, I think, rewarding in one way, because it's like, you know, the more time and the work you put into it, just the better the relationships, the better the family flow. And so it's,
How would you describe our stage right now? I mean, so just so our audience know, I mean, they most of them probably know, but we have four kids, 18, 16, 14, and 12. The older three are girls. One's about to leave the house.
Yep.
Month and a half. The youngest is a boy. So that's where we're at. So we're in this kind of teenage stage, which can be, for some people, I mean, one of the most challenging times, and it certainly has its challenges. It's also, I mean, there's just so many unique, I don't know, like our kids are, they're like little adults now. we have fun with them in a way that's like, even if you weren't my kid, I feel like you're funny or, you know, we're having like adult conversations and stuff. How would you describe our stage?
Yeah, I think this is like, I've loved every stage, but I think this is like the funnest stage in the sense that if I could freeze time, I would freeze this moment right now, right before our oldest is leaving the home. And just because we're more friends and we've figured out our rhythm. We understand each other so well. I think the last several years in the teenage years, we've just really tried to understand each other and understand each kid and what their Enneagrams are, how they tick, how they work. And so as their personalities have come out, it's been a lot easier to parent in the sense that I can understand and I would understand why they're going to respond this way instead of, you know, just kind of not understanding them. So, yeah, I feel like I love it. It's hard sometimes. I would describe it as I thought having little kids was like took up the most time, but I think the teenage years does, but in a different way. And the younger kids, it's like everyone needs you because they can't do anything on their own. And then now I find that everyone needs us, but more like deeper life decisions, life coaching, and that can be super exhausting. And,
yeah.
I mean, I think we have less time together now than we did when we were kids when we had little kids, because we would put the kids to bed at 7:30 and have the whole evening to ourselves, and now we're...
Now we put the kids to bed at like 1 a.m. and we're
going
exhausted.
To bed and they're staying up, so...
They do seem to get really chatty late at night, not every night, but there's some nights where I feel like it's like midnight when they're like, hey, I want to talk about the deep things of life. Right. And we're like, really now? What? Yeah. And you're of the mindset of like, whenever you're ready, right? I mean, if it's midnight, if this is when you want to talk, then we'll talk. And so this is Theology in the Raw. We got to talk about something that's we have to make at least some people mad with something we say. So, right. So we could get into like the debate about like schooling. I get this question a lot. I mean, homeschooling versus Christian school versus public school. And I don't know, we can go there. We could talk about, different parenting styles. There's always that balance between like being, I don't like the word protective, but people would frame it as overprotective, underprotective. How much do you shelter your kids? How much do you expose them to the world? And I don't know. We've kind of tried to navigate that. And I don't know. It's not easy to find that balance of like, and I think some people would say we're very, maybe, I don't know, strict. Yeah, maybe strict on some things and then very non-strict on other things, would you say?
Yeah.
What are some things you would say like, oh, no, I want to be strict on this or that, or we can start there. You have any?
Shoot.
you're drawing a blank. I mean, I think the one that always stands out for me is like social media with teenage girls. Like we don't allow social
media. Okay,
here's
one. I think I'm real sensitive to the mind, and what you put in the mind, it can't ever leave. And so I think where we have some differences, but I'm stricter yes. on what goes in the mind. So movies, books, things that you listen to that you can't get out of your mind. So
you say you're more strict than I am?
Well, for sure. It's like we've decided that and then it brings a bone of contention with the kids because they're like, well, Dad doesn't have a problem with it. You have a problem with it. And so I think we've had to kind of figure out, I'm like, some things I take and I'm like, yep, I'm the one with the problem. You know, go to counseling later in life for what I've done to you. And other, I'm taking my chances. And other times I think I'm like, well, you know what? Just ask Dad. And Dad can hold the responsibility of it. So
we're going to get in a fight here. I would say, I don't know. Yeah, I'm probably a little more lenient on movies, but I'm not even saying I'm right. Like, I don't think I have the best judgment on some of that where I think you probably do. So I don't think I'm like standing my ground. No, they should watch, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street or something.
I think because of like social media and all the web access compared to our day.
Yeah.
I think they've gotten into our kids' minds so much and just subtly. And
our kids are just kids in general.
Kids in general, yeah. This generation. So I think that I hate that and I don't want that. I feel like not growing up with that, we just had more simple minds, right? We didn't think, if it wasn't in front of you, you didn't think about it. And you weren't, your mind wasn't caused to like think deeper or, you know, and so, so many of these conversations that everything that's on in theology in the raw, you know, that it's like we didn't have that to think about. Not that it's a bad thing, but I think I'm just sensitive at like just making sure that their brains are, well, we know that their brains aren't developed until they're 25. Mm-hmm. So until that, these are the things that are shaping our kids, and I don't want anything shaping my kid unless it's God and us and like good peers that I would have confidence in. So so I think that's more where I come from. It's not that like I don't want my kids hearing swear words or anything like that. It has nothing to do with that. It's more just psychologically. So yeah, I would be more up for them watching a war movie with lots of blood and everything than just a psychological movie. So like The Joker or, you know, any of those, which I've seen and my kids have seen. But I just think like if your brain can't
or Split.
Handle,
how about Split? Some of the, those psychological kind of thrillers.
It's
that
like it causes you to think maybe I have like double personalities. Maybe I think that way. And it just and then it creates more damage in their brains than they need to. So that's more, and you know that. Like, it's not about like sheltering them with like swear words or like, I want my kids to be exposed to lots of different things and I want them to be able to choose differently. But the psychological part is something that I think that is really messing up our kids.
Or even like that
in general.
Like, really dark, you said war movie, but I think like there's certain kinds of violence that would be like, hey, this is part of life. Yeah. Might as well know it exists. Like, but then there's other like dark kind of violence.
So The Hate U Give, like, love that movie. Right. Yeah. Right. Such a good movie. I mean, so much swearing, so much hood, mm-hmm. like inner mm-hmm. city, but it completely portrays like what is like reality, where I just think these, the psychological things, it's not all reality. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just creating things. And we see that in our ministry. So many teenagers that are so mm-hmm. confused about everything, and they, you know, and it's like, you just want to go back to like, where did it all begin? So many times it's social media, yeah. YouTube, it's the different things. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think really strict with that. And then other things, I feel like I want them to be kids and just go do whatever, like go have freedoms, go figure out how to like mm-hmm. live, and you know,
yeah.
So,
and I wouldn't say there's people that I think are more strict than us, even when it comes to movies and shows yeah. and stuff. Oh, like, sure. They've memorized The Office, and some people would say like, oh my gosh, that's I mean, another, yeah, I don't know. And music, we're pretty, I don't know. I don't know if I don't, it's hard to compare too. It's like, if we say we're lenient on music, well, compared to who, you know?
Yeah.
But they typically listen to almost all secular music. They have some Christian artists they like, but
yeah.
They like, I mean, I, yeah, gotta be careful here, but like, they appreciate really good music. Like, yeah. They like, you know, artistic music that's creative and thoughtful and stuff. And, sometimes Christian music doesn't always express that, but, yeah. Yeah. So, you also handle, you're kind of the front line at the center. So my wife works, she works full-time for the center. Full-time, and you kind of run the place, really. But you get all the emails, and you've been doing kind of frontline emails for me with Theology in Iran, and even just my website and stuff for a while now. So mm-hmm. you get the pros and the cons. What's that like?
Running it, or
well, just getting the yeah. I mean, you get some amazing emails, and then which can be encouraging, but you also get the yeah. Just, I don't know if you guys know, but like, when you guys send in a critique or whatever, like, you're the one that gets to read that.
Well, that's what I just told you before coming down here. I said I don't think I want to be on Theology on the Raw, open myself up to all the criticism. I'm like, I'm gonna be the one getting it, and I'm like, that was me. No, it's, yeah, there's pros and cons. I think there's been different seasons where I've had to pass it on to somebody else to respond, and, you know, kind of sometimes it's a little too heavy and not yeah. something that I care to read or think too deeply about. And other times, I mean, I think I'm good at my job, so in a sense, help, like, when I think maybe eight years ago when you were sinking, and I was like, you need help. And then I was like, well, I don't want anybody else helping you that intimately, like with like knowing all your schedule, knowing everything, talking to you so much. So I said, well, let me take over and handle some of the things. And so I think that was what kind mm-hmm. of sparked it. And
yeah,
you know, so
it's been good too, because I know other people that like do a lot of traveling and speaking, that can become a bone of contention in the marriage. Mm-hmm. And I think we had that early on a little bit. Yeah. Like, if I was taking on too much, and when I was making all those decisions, that was, you know, difficult. But now, I mean, you basically tell, so yeah. could come to me and say, hey, I think here's these some things options. You should do. And yeah. And so it's never like me saying, no, I'm going here. It's you saying, right. no, I think you should go do this. So,
yeah.
Cause it's hard to make those decisions, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, the centers, I mean, yeah, seeing all of those emails can be really challenging. I would say, I mean, would you say that, what percentage would you say the emails you get, they come in, would be like positive, and versus the critiques? I mean, is it far outweigh, or
I think it depends. I always depends. Know when you put out like something, if they're a blog, or, you know, then it's like, it'll be, you know, 50-50. If not, okay. we get a lot of positive feedback. I mean, I think people that don't like us probably just write us off and just, you yeah. know, so yeah, I think it depends.
Yeah. Have you, because I think in the past the criticism was hard, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. people criticizing your husband or whatever. Yeah, and that, I do you get kind of numb to it now? Or?
No, I don't really read those too much. I kind of like skim it a little bit and just okay. think, if it's something you need to respond to, do. And if not, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough. Tough balance. All right. Let's talk about school. Okay. We had, let's see, our oldest went to public school for like a year and a half, what, kindergarten through half of first grade.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Probably, yeah. Don't remember that.
Yeah. Well, and then everybody's gone to school for a year, public okay. school, a year to a year and a half, just tried it. In more in their middle school. I guess Cody was elementary, Jesse was elementary. So tried it. Everyone wanted to see what was on the other side of the fence. What do they do over there?
But then, yeah, so we've homeschooled everyone, for the most part.
Yeah, and then wanted to come back.
Yeah, our kids wanted, yeah, like,
nobody
yeah.
wanted to go back. So it works. I think we have a really fun life. So I think at the end of the day, when they go to school and sit at a desk all day, it's like,
yeah,
I could be doing that, or I could be doing the things that, you know.
Yeah.
So I've always been a mom that plans a ton of things. I love life. I love doing lots of things. So we're always doing stuff. So yeah. I think that was just sitting at a desk, and none of them cared too much for it.
Yeah. Yeah. The times they've gone to school, they realize how kind of, it's not all wasted time, but there's a lot of wasted yeah. time. And at least their public school experience, they're kind of like, yeah. man, I was gone all day, and half the kids were just on their phones, or yeah. like the assignment, you know, just it just seemed like a lot of wasted time. And I feel like our kids have like any, like they appreciate if, like they want to get a lot done during the day.
Yeah.
Right. Like they're yeah. efficient kind
Everyone
of.
Everyone has their own hobbies and things that they're passionate about and love to do. And so I feel like as parents, our job is to set them, our kids up for success, and we set them up to just like, not only just leave the coop, but like fly out of the coop. So mm-hmm. I think early on, every year I'm like, what do you want to learn this year? What are you passionate about? What do you want to study? What do you want to, whether it's music, whether it's art or dancing, or, you know, and not just only creatives, but like even, like
cooking,
history of, you know, Egypt. I know Kaylee yeah. was so passionate about Egypt for many years, and we just did so many different, I would try to gear education around mm-hmm. that, and like whatever somebody wanted to do. So I feel like everyone has all of their passions, all the things that they love to do. We wake up in the morning and everyone has like a list of all the things they want to accomplish. Like mm-hmm. two of them are doing a music video right now, and, you know, teaching lessons. And so, and I've always taught them to make money. And so we figure out a way to make money from the time they're little, whether it was mm-hmm. making little baked goods and going around the neighborhood and selling them. They had an egg business. They had, Kaylee was teaching horse lessons at 12. We had a horse and she would get all the neighborhood kids and put them on a horse. And so I feel like with that, I think it's really, fulfilled a lot of like, things that, you know, going to school, they wouldn't have been yeah. able to do all those things. So, yeah. So I think it's worked for us, and we travel a lot, and mm-hmm. you always bring a kid with you somewhere. And then, we try to, plan different things, mm-hmm. in between those things. So, I feel like just education, like I'm passionate about, here you go. Here's a little passion. I hate the thought of a bored teenager. I just think that is just insane. No teenager should be bored. And if they're bored, it's because they're not like doing something that they're like excited about. Like for a teenager, the whole world is open. Like they mm-hmm. finally just get these freedoms. Maybe they're driving. Maybe they're like able to be a little more independent. And so to just be sitting at home and not doing anything and so bored, it's like they just haven't found something that like wants to make them get up in the morning. And so mm-hmm. from the time they were little, I think I've instilled that in that, like, what do you want to do tomorrow morning? Like when you wake up, and to me, I just feel like the sky's the limit. Like anything, you want to be the best bass guitar player? Great. Let's find you teachers. Let's try to give you the tools so that you can just mm-hmm. enjoy life, succeed, and feel confident mm-hmm. in certain things. And so I think yeah, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's good. Why do you think the school question is so like volatile? Like I feel like if I don't know, like if we say like, oh, we homeschool our kids, yeah. some people, the public school feel like might feel threatened, or
yeah,
or Christian school, or whatever. Like
I think everybody has an opinion about everything, and to a fault. I think for me, I I love what we do. I stand behind with it. If I were to redo it, I wouldn't change one thing. We've done all different things. I mean, we put our kids in co-ops. They've always been in classes. So it's not like they're just sitting home all day long. I mean, they're always, in fact, we do, like, we're moving around. They're always in a, like, either in a sport or in a classes. I mean, you can go to the school and take a science class or different things. We've tried everything, honestly. Like, well, the only thing we haven't tried is a full-time Christian school.
Yeah, it's true.
But I think everyone's just opinionated because of, like, what they do and what they see. And I'm really passionate about what we do, but everyone can do what works for them. Like our life does not work for everybody else. And some moms wouldn't like to be home with their kids all day long, like be the teacher, be the mom, be the everything. I happen to, like, love that. I loved teaching them things, like whatever I was excited about, whatever I wanted to learn, I was like, I wanted to teach that, and that's you know. So I don't think people should be opinionated about what I do, and I don't feel that opinionated about what you do, as long as it works, as long as everyone's, like, happy. And it, like, what's not good is people are miserable, and it's not, so then it's like, well, that's not working. Like, everyone needs to be really, not that every moment of your decisions are super happy. I mean, I had plenty of homeschool days where it's like, I don't think I'm doing a good job. But you also know people feel like that in the school systems, right. And you know, teachers feel like that, students feel like that, in all different things. So as long as it works, I would say the majority of, like, maybe 80% is, like, good and works for everybody, then just do that. So whether if it's public school for you and the kids are thriving, great. We have kids, good friends whose kids are in the public school system and they thrive, and they're like such a witness, and they are so, like, and they're not influenced, and I'm so glad for that. And so I don't think they should do anything different. And others, you know, we have friends all across the board that do everything, and so as long as it works.
And by works, it's like the main job a parent has, as a Christian parent has, is to disciple your kids.
Yeah.
Like, you, in the family we're thinking of, that their kids are in public school, they've all gone through, and they're just they're amazing. They are some of the most intentional parents, I mean, I've ever met with their kids. Yeah. They're like, you know.
And it depends. It depends on each kid, and it depends if you have boys and girls, and if you have, and what their personalities are. And, you know, I love to study people. I love to study kids. I love to really understand, get inside their brains and try to understand, like, why they do certain things. And so I feel like it's like you have to take case by case you know, I feel like the other thing I feel passionate about is that, you know, God has put you in charge of your kids. If you have kids, He's put you in charge of their lives for 18 years. Like, they are yours in a sense exclusively until they leave the home. And I think that we as parents need to take that really seriously and not give up on that. And so I feel like I've always told my kids, because they homeschool, they can get done early. Like, they're online, like, our second, she could finish a year early if she wants to, just because she works fast. She, you know, gets her work done and
done by, like,
self-motivated,
10, right?
and stuff. But I always said, but you're not leaving the home, because, like, you just get to do what you want. If you want to, like, go do a 9-month masseuse degree and become a masseuse, or if you want to go do hair, or if you want to learn something, you want to go learn a language, we can, like, like, maybe try to, you know, get you in language school, or maybe go to a country for a period of time and do it, like, whatever it is, like, just to excel you in life and have you enjoy. But you're not, like, just, like, hitting the road early, because and thankfully they, like, love us, and they're like fine with that. They don't want to leave early. But I feel like we have 18 years. I was a missionary kid, and I saw a lot of our missionary friends whose parents would send them to Black Forest Academy or, you know, boarding school. And that was always really hard for me, because I was like, your parents should be your most influential like, people in your life. And as parents, we want to be the most, the people that is walking through life with their kids, and that's day in and day out being a part of that. Because once they leave at 18, they don't have to come back. They don't have to ask you for anything. But until then, we have them in our hands. So I take that really seriously and enjoy it. And I enjoy every minute of it. of like, not that things aren't hard, but I really, especially with our oldest leaving, I'm like, 18 years goes by so fast. And then you and I have the next 60 plus years.
What are we going to do then, Chris?
just together. And so I don't want to miss one minute, really, in a sense, of those years with them.
Yeah. So you mentioned that our kids actually like us. I think that's so true. I mean, I think.
Well, we're going to have them. We might do something. We might have them come on Theology in the Raw without us. And
we're not allowed to listen to what they say.
We can ask. People can ask them questions. And, you know, so we'll be able to. But we think they do.
Yeah, maybe they're lying. But let's assume that they actually do. What advice? Well, maybe describe, as you reflect on what you have done to cultivate, well, what we have done to cultivate that, and what, because I know there's gonna be some parents listening saying, man, yeah, my kid used to like me, but then they turned 16, right, or they got a boyfriend or girlfriend, or we just lost connection. Like, so I know that could pretty, on like what advice, maybe especially to a younger parent whose kid is, you know, 10, 11, 12, and like, man, how do I maintain that kind of strong bond? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I do, actually. So, well, I feel like there's a couple things. I have friends who say, my kids are not my friends until they are 18 plus. They're not my friends. I'm the mom, they're the parents, and we're not friends. And then I have others that are like, oh, we're totally friends. And I would fall more on the friend side. Okay. And I feel like if we err a little bit, sometimes they've said to me, like, mom, be a mom.
Be a parent,
and I'm like, you're right. Like, totally. That's good. So, I mean, none of us do anything perfectly. So you have to kind of, in life, you kind of have to see, well, what do I do best at? And then like, or what do I want to be best at? And then kind of there'll be errors in there. So I don't do it perfectly, but that's not my personality too. Like, my personality is the people in my life, I like it to be like just easy and fun and enjoyable. And I like to enjoy time with them. And it's been like that for me with parenting. I would say in the early years, it's a lot more discipline. It's just first time obedience. Hey, I told you to do that. You didn't do it. You know, like early on to like 5, 6, 7 years old. And so that was, I remember thinking that was harder for me because I'm more the type like that wants to like talk about it and say, well, why would you have done that? Like, that doesn't make, you know.
But when they're four, it's kind of like.
When they're four, they don't know. But that's why their later years here, it works a little bit better because we really analyze it through, like, what was going through your mind when you actually did that. And so I feel like I fall more on the side of like, I am friends, like my girls. And I mean, not Cody, but he's still 12, so it's different. But my girls like are my favorite people to just spend the time with. We laugh, we have so much fun. Sometimes I do feel like I'm just one of them, and that's where I have to find the balance of like, you know, like they do need a parent. And so
I'm downplaying
myself a little bit. I mean, I definitely parent them, but I think just in the conversations, it's a lot more like,
I think you do that with Cody too, though, don't you? I mean, yeah, he's younger, but I mean,
well, yeah, actually, like, we wrestle every night.
Yeah, you wrestle with him more.
Every night, he's like, I just want to wrestle you, Mom. I'm like, let's go, bring it.
Well, now he's starting to get strong.
Oh, he hurt me so bad the other day. I was like, actually, this morning, he poked me so bad, my arm. Anyways, all that to say, I think earlier on, it was definitely like more discipline, and we were strict. I mean, it was like, hey, when you meet somebody, you look them in the eye and give them a big hug and say hi. And if you don't, you're going to get in trouble. Like, we had a very high standard of like, because I knew I want people to like my kids. Because if they don't like our kids, they're not going to like us. Like, I have people that I'm like, I don't like being around your kid and I can't invite you over because it bothers me so bad. So we were very much like, you know, our kids have to be enjoyable. They have to be respectful. I mean, a disrespectful kid, no adults want to be around them. So strict with that. But I feel like as it's gotten like where we talk a lot more, I think that there's just a lot more of a friendship of just, I love to have fun. Like, right? I mean, it's like if you're my seven. Life isn't filled with fun, then I just get so down. So having, creating that within the home. And I did that from the beginning. I would look at my week and I'd be like, okay, we're going to pack a picnic. We're going to jump in the river here. And we're going to, you know, I just plan out fun things that make the kids so excited to for the week, for the day, for being with us. And even like on our family vacations, like, I mean, right, I just like plan so many fun things that it's like you wouldn't want to miss one of these trips. So I think I mean, yeah, I mean, our hope is that our kids do want to come back, right, after they leave the home, that they're not like, oh, I don't want to go home and see my parents, or, you know, that they would want to like not miss that. And so I think and I'm very, like, we talk about everything in our family, right? We're like so open, like, I mean, so open to where.
Can you give an example of the, like, what does that look like?
Every conversation is just a normal conversation, like anything from sex to
sex.
That's all they want to know. Any conversations. It's just, it's flows. It's just like, I'll be cooking and they'll ask like deep questions. And so it's, I think that just having an open line of communication that, hey, you don't have to like be all formal with your parents and have to like have a conversation like, oh, I got to tell my parents tonight. It's more, they'll come home from like, you know, the girls just went to a dance the other night and they jump in the car and tell me every single thing about how this boy did this, and, you know, that. And so I think I've just tried to establish that of just like, hey, there's no shame. Like nothing you tell me, like you're not in trouble for telling me anything. It's like, if we need to like talk through something, we will, but just by telling me is not going to get you in trouble.
So concretely though, how did you foster that? Are you saying like you had initiated earlier on those kind of just really open conversations, like so that talking about personal stuff isn't a big, it's just not personal, it's just talking, you can talk about whatever,
just ask any question at any point, and just very natural and conversational. I think that
I've heard someone say it's better to have 100 1-minute conversations about sex than 100-minute conversation. I think it was Jason Sochnick, right?
Yeah.
But you, I feel like, would that accurately describe kind of your, without even really, I don't think you really, we didn't really talk about this, or we just kind of, it's an outflow, I think, of who we are, just kind of more open. And
even with me and Cody, like, I feel like I just can't, like, anything that could possibly be embarrassing or anything, I just ask me, like, and then just say, hey, don't worry, so many other kids or boys or teenagers, or, you know, they're the same just like you, and just kind of just make things so that I just don't want to ever have like formal conversations, because that instantly puts everyone's guards up and everyone's just like, oh,
it's,
you know,
and
so
weird,
so I mean, sometimes it's heated and we all say things. I mean, sometimes you and the girls will just go back and forth, and Preston will be like, okay, stop, we need to like reboot, let's start again. And then it's like, okay, let's start, you know. So
On the friendship side, so one of the challenges is, like, I feel like our kids, because everything's so open and honest and everything, like, they're not afraid to share their opinions, or like,
right,
a lot of like when we grew up, we constantly say, oh, that would never fly.
You can't
when
tell
we were
your
kids
that.
You can't say or have a voice into like, hey, where do you want to do this weekend, and you're gonna have so many opinions and this that and everything.
So
and
I feel like that's a good, because they tell us stuff. I mean, they bit it but in our business and like tell, like, you know, just tell me things I should do or shouldn't do. And so again, I think there's been times where I've been like super offended at being like, hey, don't talk to me that way or anything. And I think what I've realized is like, okay, we're all gonna like err on one side. Anytime you go down one road, you kind of err on one side or the other at different points. So will be times. And so there'll be times like, hey, that's super disrespectful, don't talk to me that way. And then I feel like for the most part, they're like, yeah, sorry, or yeah, I get that, or, you know, I think, it's never gonna go perfect, but I would much rather that than the opposite of like feeling like they can't share anything and they can't talk about certain things, and that we're like, you know, that they have to, that they have to talk to their friends about things and not us, you know. So,
because in our generation, it was more the authoritarian, right? Like, there's all kinds of stuff like, oh, I would never tell.
Well, and I think we've talked about the different generations where our generation now has swung so much to where, you know, it'll be interesting to see what our kids, their generation, is going to look like in their parenting, because I feel like ours was authoritative and it was just like discipline and tell us like really teach us about life. You know, teach it on paper, you teach about life
and black and white, everything's black and white, here's right, here's wrong.
Our generation goes, well, we'll teach you about life just doing it with you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then somehow their generation, it's going to be interesting to see. We've talked a lot about like what our kids, how they think they're going to parent. Obviously, it's so young. They don't have, they're not married yet. But it'll be interesting to see where they, because they'll change. They'll like maybe go a little bit more in the middle or.
Yeah. Yeah. Because each parenting style is kind of a reaction against some of the. Errors of their parenting.
Like I have like I just coming down super strong our kids, I have like get like anxiety just thinking about that. So it's like I can't be like that. Like just like this is the way it is. Don't ask questions, you know. It's like that just I can't be like that. So then I go the other way, like, well, I was thinking I don't know, I could be wrong. You know, and
I wonder what in our parenting, in our both you and I, but also our generation of parenting is going to be the thing or that our kids didn't like that they're going to correct, you know? What, like, it's a little hard to think about. Like, what am I doing now that our kid's going to say, oh, I'm definitely not going to do that when I'm a parent. You know?
Or,
I don't know.
Well, it's interesting. Our kids have said this to me recently that they feel like they had two different types of moms. And it's interesting that they would remember this, but they said they remember me when they were younger, a really lot more strict, and you know, and then now they feel like I'm not strict. And
really,
they were just saying that. And at first, I was like, they said, you're a totally different person. And they're like, and they said they almost remember the time when there was like a shift over. And without like, not that I like literally wrote it out on paper, but I felt like in the younger years, you have to like obey. Like, they just, like, go get your shoes on. Like, we're leaving. And if they're going to argue about why they should get their shoes on, it's just not going to, our family's not going to work. So I think there was a lot more, like, this, because I just told you, don't ask again. Just go do it, and then we can talk about it later. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
Yeah.
And, but then I remember, like, once we had that established of, like, yeah, our kids obey us, like, in general. Like, there's obedience. Then I felt like I was able to move into, like, the next stage of just, like, does that bother you that I said that, or how, you know, like be able to talk through, or them saying like, I don't like how you said that. And it's like, oh, okay, let me explain to you why. And you know, that kind of thing. But it's interesting. They've said that they felt like they had two different moms, and I'm like, I could see how you could feel that and see that.
That's not necessarily a bad thing you're saying. I mean,
I would redo the same thing. I mean, I feel like there needs to, I mean, I see a lot of 3-year-olds that are just so unruly, and it's like you can see the parents, they just hate being around their kids. I mean, it's just like it's so hard to be around them when they're just, it's not, it doesn't flow.
How do you, because I'm sure people are listening and they're like, that's my 3-year-old. Like, what advice would you give to, because our kids growing up, some were all super compliant, some were super, like, took
really
a long time to get over. So it's not like our kids just naturally, and we were around kids, families were. So the Dodson.
I know what you're gonna say.
Well, shout out
the Dodson.
Shout out to Joey Dodson and Sadie Dodson, because
I'll tell the story.
Okay,
so this we're hilarious. In Scotland. They have kids that are maybe, you know, several. Well,
they're like 3 years older than ours.
Yeah, like the oldest is like 3 or 4 years older than our oldest, and I would say we have, and even seeing their personalities now, really strong personalities out of all of our kids, all of them leaders and strong.
Wait, our kids.
Our kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And so from younger, just so much, like just so much commotion, so much like, you know, really difficult on some stages with some kids, and other ones like easy and their kids. So we're in Scotland, and they were doing PhD, you and Joey. And I remember we were putting all our kids to bed. We were trying to hang out in the evenings, and we had our rooms.
And us to get our kids to bed and quiet. It was a chore almost every, like, it wasn't like.
So much talking and asking.
And
everyone has to go to the bathroom, and everyone has to go get a drink. And, you know, just a lot to where when you finally go, they finally go to bed, you're just like, oh my gosh. Well, Joey and Sadie are in the other room. And they do a little quick good night, a little quick prayer. And we walk by their rooms. Ours is like chaotic. Theirs is like quiet.
With the lights on.
Four of their kids in one queen size bed. Right, just like next to each other. So ours, we have to like separate them because you know they're going to be like touching, fighting and everything. Right next to each other, lights on, fully asleep, not even moved.
Or even if they weren't asleep, their eyes were just, they're just laying there. Like they're going to sleep.
And I was like, what did you do? I was like, and he's like, nothing, just kissed him goodnight.
You put him to bed.
Well, how did did you get to this point? You know, we're like sweating and just trying to like get through the night. And I'm like, what did you do to get through this? And literally Joey's answer, love you, Joey. But he's like, we just told him that this is the way it goes. Yeah, that just... they just need to go to bed. And I was like, you just told them that they need to go to bed. As if I never told our kids to go to bed. And he's like, they just did. And so I still forever remember that. It was like, is, you know, that's why you have to be so careful in like telling, like, this is the way it works. Nothing works for any, like, what works for you does not work for somebody else. They just, you know, they had easy kids. I don't know. They just...
Or even like driving too, like going across town sometimes with, well, I'm not going to out throw any of my kids under the bus necessarily, but sometimes driving across town, if it was more than 15 minutes,
so much,
we couldn't get, we just, it was so much. They just had to get out and I need, and other kids,
and doesn't it make sense that our kids, I mean, our kids are, have a lot of energy, are so full. It's like they're you and me put together.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like.
But other people are like, they drive for hours and the kids are like staring out the window. I'm like, well, how do they just stare out the window? It's crazy. But we had, so I would say Cody was like that.
Yeah.
Like he was that kid where it's like he would get in his in his car seat and just kind of sit there and
like we tell him, all right, go to bed, he's asleep, everyone else is still doing stuff and talking and maybe getting a big discussion and he's just like, you know, he's just a
how do you let's go back to that parent who maybe has that kid who is unruly, who's you know, they're just difficult.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you address that? Like, what do you do?
Well, I think something, I don't know, because not knowing the person and the way like life is, I mean, it's like there's so many factors. It's like that immediately go through my mind of like, well, let me see your life. But I would say like you got to pour even heavier into it. I mean, I feel like we've had even seasons right like recently with our teenagers where it's like there's like maybe some things that are not in order, not in check. And it's like, then we're all in. Like, instead of like, I think temptation is to like, oh my gosh, send them off to camp, do something, just get away, like kind of like, and for me, I just think like, just dig deeper, spend more time, like really establish just a deeper relationship. And so it's hard to kind of know like a 3-year-old, but I would say putting them in a daycare is not the thing to do at that time. You know, I mean, that's my, like, so like dig in deeper and there's so much trial and error, like some things work one time and it doesn't work again. Yeah. And so it's not easy, but I feel like it's like, keep pressing on, like, and go full force.
Or treat it like a very, really high priority, right?
Yeah.
Or even like, for example, like going to this grocery store with little kids can be a nightmare, right? But if you're like, I've got an hour to go to the store, come back. And if your kid starts throwing a tantrum in the store and like you're rushed and everything, like that's gonna be difficult. But if you say, I need to go to the store, my kids are probably gonna be really difficult. I need to carve out 2 hours because I might have to remove them from the store or do something or spend time or because you don't, you don't want kids throwing tantrums.
Be prepared for what's to come.
Right.
In that. So I would like, maybe, hey, we'll get some French bread when we get to the store and you can nibble on some French bread while we're in the store, you know,
try to mitigate
like
some of the
bribing, but there's a balance between bribing and just helping them succeed. Right. So if you have a kid that's super fidgety, well, you give them something to fidget on. And so if you have that mindset of like, of just, help them succeed. So whatever that looks like. And what I'm now seeing on this end, everything's for a stage, okay? You're not going to have a 14-year-old that's just so much in a store. I mean, it's like, maybe, but most of the time, it's like they mellow out or they, you know. So I think just seeing, like, it's just a small stage. You have little kids that are just wild. Okay, how can we help them succeed for this one time?
It's hard because there's a balance between kids growing out of certain things or certain habits just translate differently as they get older. For instance, I mean, a kid who is allowed to kind of just throw a tantrum whenever he wants to get his way, it's going to translate when he's a teenager.
Right.
He's going to have patterns built in saying, I just need to throw a tantrum in my own 14 way now and I'm going to get my way. But that's just not going to work in the real world. So it's like you're setting them up for failure. But I think there are certain things they do grow out of.
I like, just watched this this YouTube or this clip or whatever. This guy, his kid was throwing a tantrum in the store and screaming because she wanted something. And he just picks her up and leaves his stuff there and walks her out. And he puts her on top of his hood and just sits right next to her. And she is just screaming 6 minutes. Like the video is like, he's like, I'm just going to sit here and just.
On the hood of the car?
She's going to tire out. Yeah. Like, you know, hood of the car, just sitting there. And then all of a sudden she's so tired and stuff. And she starts like stopping, you know, and stuff. And he's like, are you done? And she's like, mm-hmm. And he goes, all right, let's go back in. And literally that's what he did. And he went back in. And I was like, well.
Is that good? You think that's like,
It's one. I feel like there's different. I don't know what all he's tried in different times, right? Maybe he's tried so many things, but I just was like, well, I mean, she didn't win. She didn't get what she wanted.
Oh, because she was wanting something.
Was wanting something, and she was ruining his time, and then he's like, it didn't ruin his time shopping, and it ruined so. I feel like, you know what, he showed her he's the boss. Like, he controlled her. He brought her out, and then when she was done, he brought her back in. And so
like, that's the ultimate goal, to try to teach that kid that throwing a tantrum is not going to get what you want. Like, in life, just because you want something doesn't mean you are going to get it, especially if you act in obnoxious
ways. He said that to her. He said we don't act like that in the store, okay? And she's like, okay. And he goes, so we're just going back in, but you can't do that, okay? And she's like, okay.
But you watched all 6 minutes of the girl screaming.
I think he says in it like 1 minute later or something, you know.
And, talk about anxiety. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, totally. My heart was pounding for him because it's, you know, but I think, and that's the thing in parenting, you try all those things. I mean, I feel like we've tried so many things, and then it's like, there's not one thing that works.
There's a lot of frustrating moments or moments where you just feel like a failure. Just,
oh yeah.
Golly. Yeah, it's just not working. But
the goal is 18 years that they want to come back, and that they are happily like leaving, not that they're happy to leave, but that they're leaving feeling like successful and that to conquer the world and what they're going to face.
Is that kind of a goal you have, like a motivation? Like, what can I be doing now that when they're out of the house, they will want to come back?
Yeah.
Is that?
Oh, yeah. I want them to come back.
Where'd you get that from? You just kind of
thought of it? I don't know.
You don't read a ton of parenting books anymore, do you? I mean, so this is just kind of trial and error stuff that you thought of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Wow. Empty nesters in a few years. Don't want to talk about it?
No.
I know you're going to be super sad. I think I'm going to be a wreck. Yeah. Even though, like, I'm, not around as much as you are, you know, but... yeah, I don't know. I just can't imagine waking up with like a quiet house.
Yeah. I mean, I think we'll stay busy. We're not going to be ones to just...
Yeah. You still going to like me?
Yes.
That's... Okay, so everything you're saying about pouring into your kids and focusing on your kids, but is there a potential that could backfire on the marriage? Haven't we heard that? Like, well, for 18 years, your life is...
Well, for the last couple of years, it's been on our radar, right?
Yeah.
We say it to each other a lot. Like, hey... Like, we go on dates and we do, like, we love being with our kids. So when we go on vacations, we're all together, that kind of stuff. But it's on our radar to be like, I don't want our kids to be stressed out about us. Like, that if we're bored or if we have to really like each other in order for our kids to really like us. Like, if they see contention in our marriage or that we don't like us, that's going to throw the whole family dynamics off and they won't want to. So, like, there's motivation that, so, I mean, it's not... hard for me, I will say. I mean, I like you know, you're a fun person and
used to be
shout out.
No, used to be a lot funner.
Like, I love being around you. Like, we laugh, we have so much fun. And so I think it's been on our radar for the last couple of years of like, hey, as our kids are leaving, we got to make sure that they are also seeing that we really still like each other, that our whole world is not just them.
That is a big void. I mean, because like you said, a huge part of your day every day has been involved with your kids, thinking about it, and that's going
to
be...
I think that'll be the transition of... That'll be hard to be like, well, like, no one needs me anymore, you know? But I think we'll figure that out. And...
Yeah.
It already changes with teenagers like that. I mean, the other, like, a couple weeks ago, I was like, Like in the past, it was like, I was like, hey, today we're going to do this. Now it's like, hey, does anybody want to go do this? And people be like, nah. And so then it's different. And so I'm already feeling like, yeah, it's not as much. I don't have all the time that I had before with them. And so I'm starting to have my own, like I'm starting to take up pottery.
Pottery. That's right.
Pottery just class. Things that it's like that.
How's
I
that going?
Enjoy.
I just picture the movie Ghost whenever I think of pottery. You and I pottery. Oh wait, was that a racy scene? I forget. He didn't have sex with the ghost, did he? Wait, he was the ghost.
No, I think it's a scene that I think that was the Christian hubbub. Okay. Like
like a no-no, kind of like the Harry Potter of
yeah.
Oh man, what? How long are we gone? I can't see. Oh, okay, we got a few more minutes. Discipling your kids. I get this question a lot. Like, I had somebody ask me, one of my Patreon supporters, what do you do to, can you recommend like a good devotional material for you and your kids or whatever? And I said, well, we've kind of tried the kind of more regimen, like more the, it just doesn't really, I don't know, it doesn't really flow with our family dynamic. So I feel like, and I'm not saying this like, here's the way to do it, or even if we, that we've done it right. Mm-hmm. But it seems like it's kind of woven throughout the day and normal life. We have done seasons. I mean, last fall, yeah, we were getting up and reading the Bible together as a family. We haven't done that in a while. Our older kids, thank God, truly thank God that they have like an independent kind of rhythm that they, you know, comes in seasons, but they are going through studies and reading their Bible and praying and stuff. So they have kind of a more of an independent faith journey now. But I still do miss those family times. It's just so hard practically.
Well, yeah, like, when I don't know, kids, and they went to bed at 7:30. I mean, we were so faithful. We'd read the Bible every night with them and pray. And now just our schedules just don't, I mean, doesn't work that way with, you know, people are working and coming and going and stuff. And so I think there's just different I think you just have to look at different seasons for different things. So to just say like every morning we're going to wake up at this time and do devotions together, it's like, well, maybe that works. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe if one kid has a job that they work till midnight every night, waking up at 6 is a nightmare like for them, you know, so it doesn't work for that.
Yeah.
So you just constantly reevaluate. I think that's where I probably do a good job in our marriage and in our family of like reevaluating, like even in our marriage, like if sometimes we're in a season where we don't get a lot of one-on-one time and it's okay, but then we're gonna like look at the next season and make sure we plan that in. So I think I've done little you know, like 6 week things with my girls, and just said, just 6 weeks, we're gonna, you know, Monday, like a Monday night or something, just kind of, if we weren't in like a Bible study or something like that. Or other times it's just I've always said like, hey, like tomorrow morning let's wake up and I want to pray with you, and just, you know, and in more individual time with that. And so I think it's just keeping it, it's going to look different all the time, and but just making sure that you're really good at like taking them out for chips and salsa and just talking about anything they want to talk about, the Bible if they have questions. And so it's more just flowing in their conversations. So it's like, you know,
well, Josie has, she has ongoing list of like the hardest theological questions. Yeah. She's satisfied.
She starts feeling like I need to like go to chips and salsa, Dad.
Yeah,
and so, I know. and that's kind of like your part with them, whereas like I probably like pray more with them about life things, and it works. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm not able to do what you do, and you aren't necessarily able to, you know, do what I do. So it works.
Yeah, and I like chips and salsa. Well, Chris, we should wrap it up. Thanks for coming on Theology and Raw. How do you feel?
Great.
Yeah.
Whatever negative comments you have, keep them. I don't want to read them.
You could send them to me.
I'm not perfect, and I know it, so I don't need to hear it. I'm totally it. That's the raw part. Right? That's the part that is like I would say to you off the air.
Yeah.
Want to read that?
I don't need to hear it. Yeah. I mean, if you do anything public, it's like, of course you're going to get criticism, right? It's just the more you do, write something, say something, whatever, public. I mean, some human is going to disagree, and it is what it is, you know? And you listen to you listen to what you can, try to improve, be humble, but you can't just pay attention to every little criticism that every person has. You just can't.
And on the flip side, let's all not be so opinionated. Just hold your comments a little bit. If everyone held back half of their comments, I think we would have a better life.
I am impressed with the tone of at least some of the criticism I get. They're often like, and sometimes on social media I'll see, you know,
hey,
somebody
say, your stuff.
Yeah.
You do such a great job, you know, but I don't agree with that. And that's totally fine.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is you've always been like, nobody has to agree with me 100% at all.
I don't even agree with me half the time.
Let's just respect each other. Let's be kind. Let's realize we're all like walking towards Christ and trying to figure this out. So, in that, we're just it's going to look different and messy sometimes.
Absolutely. So. Thanks for coming on Theology in the Raw. Sweetie, I'll see you later.
Okay.